Our scripture reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 19, verses 1 through 12. As you turn there, let us pray. Holy Spirit, we need you to understand your word, even as you inspired Matthew to write these words of Jesus and to tell us his story. So we need that same spirit that was on Matthew to be with us today, to give us wisdom and understanding and open our hearts to hear and to believe and to obey. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Now, when Jesus had finished these sayings, he went away from Galilee and entered the region of Judea beyond the Jordan. And large crowds followed him, and he healed them there. And Pharisees came up to him and tested him by asking, "Is it lawful to divorce one's wife for any cause?" And he answered, "Have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female, and said, 'Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and should hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh.' So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate." They said to him, "Why then did Moses command one to give a certificate of divorce and to send her away?" And he said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, Moses allowed you to divorce your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, and marries another, commits adultery." And the disciples said to him, "If such is the case of a man with his wife, it is better not to marry." But he said to them, "Not everyone can receive this saying, but only those to whom it is given. For there are eunuchs who have been so from birth, and there are eunuchs who have been made eunuchs by men, and there are eunuchs who have made themselves eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. Let the one who is able to receive this receive it." This is the word of God for the people of God. So a couple of years ago, or maybe not quite as long, there was a trend on that barometer of American culture, TikTok, where single women who were, you know, around 30 or 40s would kind of say what I do as a single person without children or husband and talk about the really self-indulgent day they had. I remember there was one young lady who was talking about, she woke up very late that morning and lounged around in bed and didn't have to worry about getting up because there were no kids, had spent all night out at a Beyonce concert, didn't have to worry about a husband, and was going to spend the day learning how to make a certain dish and watch a whole lot of Netflix, which, you know, the dish is a good dish. I don't know how much of a life of just watching Netflix all day is fulfilling, but that was kind of the thing. And in one sense, those and others that kind of said, they were obviously very immature and selfish because they were simply about how I'm going to live a selfish life because I don't have an obligation to a spouse. I don't have an obligation to children. And there's the same thing from certain groups of guys that kind of do the same thing. Not a really great outlook on life. But the backlash from those who would consider themselves conservative, probably Christian, was equally unbiblical and unhelpful and foolish. When it talked about how, you know, really that she needs to get married and have kids and have, get away from this kind of lifestyle as though that is the whole purpose of life. And there's this kind of trend among folks who are just saying that if you're going to follow Christ, you have to have marriage and family, and this is the way it has to be. I just want to say, neither of you are looking at the book. Neither of you are following Jesus. Pox on both your houses. And Jesus tells us how life is to be, regardless of the estate that we find ourselves in. And I want us to see this, how he's talking about marriage and singleness to the glory of God. So here's the setup. Jesus has gone into Judea. He's on his way to Jerusalem. He's entered this other region, and the Pharisees come to him to test him. This is an ongoing thing. They're going to come with questions, trying to get Jesus to say things that will get him in trouble, say things that will turn the crowd against him, trap him. And so they test him. And they test him by saying, is it okay for someone to divorce over any reason? And this was a discussion at the time. Deuteronomy 24 gives rules for how, if divorce takes place, it is to take place. Those at the time was only for men because women were not allowed to initiate this. It wasn't a fair situation. And in this, they're hoping to test him because, you know, here's this debate. Where are you going to line up on this debate? And are you going to contradict the law? Are you going to contradict? And more than that is he's entering in the area where Herod had been. And you'll remember Herod had divorced his wife and married his brother's wife. And John the Baptist had called him out on that. And so part of what's going on is maybe if we can get you to say something against Herod, the same thing that happened to John the Baptist will happen to you. Maybe we can get you arrested and killed too. So Jesus, is it permitted to divorce for any reason? And the debate was, what are the reasons? Some rabbis at this time taught that anything that displeased the husband was grounds for dismissing a wife. A meal that wasn't cooked properly would be sufficient. Some even said simply finding someone else they thought would be better and had a nicer dowry would be an acceptable reason. And so Jesus, rather than getting into the debates of looking at reasons why, he looks at the purpose and intent of marriage. And what God says is that he created them male and female so that the husband will leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife. The two will become one flesh. Rather than getting in all the details, what he's saying is God's intent and purpose is a lifelong commitment between one man and one woman. We need to hear this because Jesus, pointing to how God created us, is saying there's an intent and a purpose. And we are in a culture that kind of acknowledges nothing above us and simply says, whatever we as a society decide is marriage is what it can be. Whatever we as individuals can say it is what we're going to accept it to be. And we can change it. We can redefine it. It can, however we want to do it. And yet, Jesus says, it's not that. It's actually created by God with an intent and a purpose. And so we want to live within the purpose of what God has intended for it to be. And any breaking of that is opposed to him. So they say, well, why did Moses command this law for divorce? And Jesus calls them on this. Wrong verb. It is out of the hardness of your heart. It's out of sin. It's out of the wrongness that you've done. He doesn't command it. He permits it. He allows it. In the reality of a fallen state of sinful people, he allows it. And so he's saying, but that is not the intent. That's not the ideal. That's not the purpose. And he wants us to be drawn back to what God intends of a relationship that is permanent, that is full commitment. And so the disciples said to him, if such is the case of a man with his wife, if I can't just dismiss her because it's a burnt meal, it's better not to marry. I have a lot of questions about the Bible. One of my questions is, were the disciples' wives present when they said, oh man, are you serious? This is really difficult. Do I have to do this? Was Peter's wife there when he said it would be better not to marry? Maybe so. And Jesus, perhaps even more shocking than his words beforehand, says, not everyone can receive this saying. And I think what he's talking about is the saying of what the disciples said, of it's at times better not to be married. And what he says is also striking. Not everyone can receive this, but only those who have given. There are some who are eunuchs from birth. They can't. There are some who have been made eunuchs, and this was something common at that time, that there would be who were in government service and officials in different palaces and courts who would be set aside to serve specifically for that monarch. And there are others who have made themselves eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. And that's striking. Because one is, this society did not expect anyone to be single. This society expected anyone to be married, have a husband, have a wife. And more than that, in a Jewish context, to be a eunuch would mean you were not able to enter into the temple. There was restrictions. Anyone who was a eunuch could not enter the temple. And Jesus is saying that some have made themselves for the kingdom of heaven. How can that be if they couldn't enter? Now, Jesus is metaphorical here. This is one of those times it's really important, guys, to make sure we're not literalist in everything in Scripture, that we understand there's metaphor. There was a guy in church history who took this as literal early days, and you know, even now, church history classes in seminaries wince when they hear the story of origin. But anyway, let me get back to this. Tell what he's telling us to do. What Jesus is saying is that whether we're married or whether we're single, we glorify God. The intent and purpose of what is given to you in the estate where you are, through providence, through choice, through wherever, is a way to glorify God and to serve Him. And so the view of marriage is right. When the disciples say, it might be better not to marry. Marriage is hard. It's difficult. Robin's downstairs with the kids. I can tell you how difficult it is. You get with someone and they, you know, you suddenly find they're not quite as wonderful, or you're not quite as wonderful as when you were dating. You get someone with different opinions and different wills, and you don't agree on everything, and we are all sinners. And my impatience or someone's selfishness or all of that comes into a marriage, and it's hard. It's difficult to work through the difficulties of marriage. And we've bought into this narrative that if I just find the right person, then everything is good. If I find my soulmate, then I'm complete and I'm whole and I'm satisfied. And the problem is, if I'm in a difficult marriage, it must be the other person because they're not my soulmate. And I need to go find the right person, rather than saying, I need to confront my sin and I need to work on being a better person. And rather than saying, I'm not satisfied because you're not meeting my needs, I realize that it's not about having someone else meet all my needs and confirm me and satisfy, but it's about fully loving and serving the other. That's the picture of marriage that Jesus gives us. It's not about finding the right person and everything's going to be easy. It's about going through the difficulty that all of us face if we're in a relationship with anyone else. Illustration often used in marriage counseling. Now, this is where I see who's older and who's younger. Do y'all remember those rock tumblers in the back of comic books that you would put some pebbles in and some, I'm about to describe comic books to younger people, but there was these little kind of a cylinder, and you could put rocks in and some grit and some oil, and they would tumble around, and the grit and the rocks hitting one another, they'd come out polished and beautiful. And that's sort of what marriage is. You've made a promise and a commitment so that you're going to stick through things even when things get difficult. And the more you go through that, the more it knocks off your sins and your failures. And you become more and more like Christ over the years if you've made a commitment to say, I'm in this, not because of how I feel in the moment, because I'm committing in the future of what things will be, and we become refined. And so if you look at someone and say, well, I'm not happy with you, I'm done, you do away with the whole point of marriage being a covenant that's going to keep you in this. You're not going to be refined and matured if you blame the other and just are done. And so Jesus wants us to understand the intent and the purpose is refining and holiness, that we are serving the other. I'm not finding my satisfaction in them, but I'm giving of myself to them. And then on the other sense, in a modern culture that sees singleness as an opportunity to have no obligations and live totally selfish, Jesus does away with that. Singleness is hard. Being not married is also difficult. It's not that one is difficult and one's not. Being single is also hard. It's difficult to not have the support at different times. I can't imagine not having the flu without Robin around, right? I mean, there's difficulties to go through, and it's difficulties to see others. We recognize that. So that, too, is hard, and to be faithful in that. But Jesus says it also serves a purpose. Now, both of these, we can ignore the purpose, but the purpose is those, either through decision or providence, in singleness, you can be single for the kingdom of heaven. You can, in your singleness, serve God by using that freedom you have, not just for enjoying life on your own terms, but having the lack of obligations and using that to serve others, to serve in the church more, to give yourself in ways to build up the community, to commit yourself to others and to love and give yourself also in those ways. And also to realize that your satisfaction isn't in accumulating toys and wealth and experiences. Both of them are difficult. Both are opportunities to serve. Both are opportunities to find our satisfaction somewhere other than in other people or in ourselves. And both are opportunities to glorify God. As Christians, we shouldn't see the state we're in as just kind of where we are. God has guided and led you to wherever. And you can commit your life to wherever you're serving and in that state and saying, in my singleness, in my marriage, I'm going to love and serve God. I'm going to glorify Him. If you do this, you can glorify God in part because you serve. In marriage and with children, your life is giving and serving to others. You know, that's something I think we tend to forget is that we forget evangelism isn't just sharing the gospel with others. We begin by sharing it with others. That as we live our lives as Christians, showing kindness and forgiveness and developing in the fruits of the Spirit, the first place we do that is with our wife or with our husband. And that we serve Christ in the way Christ shows us in our homes, and we let that flow and pour out into the lives of others. But also that if we can serve others in our singleness to give ourselves when we have more flexibility over our time, more flexibility over our schedule, that can be given to serve community, serve our neighbors, love others, and glorify God. We all have the opportunity of glorifying God as we serve others. But not only that, we glorify God when we bear witness to the culture around us that our satisfaction ultimately isn't in someone else. That I don't have my needs met by others, and that's what I'm ultimately about. But ultimately, I'm satisfied in Christ. And because He has given me grace, because He's given me everything, I show to the world that true joy and true satisfaction is found in Jesus. And you bear witness to that. One, if you're serving others, that you're loving and not using family. And in that, you're showing a faithfulness and a commitment to one another in a way that glorifies God and shows that this isn't about saying, if you meet my needs, I'm here, but if you don't, I'm done with you. And at the same time, in your singleness, is able to say, you know, maybe it would be good to be with someone, but ultimately, my fullness is in Christ who loves me. And you can show to the world that your joy isn't about having as much fun and pleasure, but your joy is about a God who loves you and gave Himself for you. And so in marriage or in singleness, we both can follow Christ. Christ who is faithful to His betrothed. Ultimately, He is going to have the wedding feast of Christ in His church. He's pointing to this and He's saying, you've messed up. You've done things wrong. You haven't always lived up to my standard. You haven't always pleased me. And yet, Jesus is faithful. Jesus isn't saying, if you do this, you're mine. He's saying, I've committed myself to you. You're mine. And the way He did that was Himself becoming a eunuch for the kingdom of heaven. Metaphorically, he was single. Part of what Jesus is saying is probably dealing with some criticism He's receiving of, who is this guy? And He's saying, in my singleness, I'm serving God. I'm being faithful to Him. I'm loving Him. And in a culture that understood that as being cut off, ultimately He did. He ultimately was excluded from the presence of God. He cut Himself off from the temple so that we could be brought in. And He showed us in His singleness, He shows us in His faithfulness to His betrothed that we too follow Him So whether you are married, whether you're single, we understand the intent and purpose is to glorify and serve God by loving others and being satisfied in Christ. Now unto him who is able to do more than we can ask or imagine, be honor and glory and power forever. Amen.